welcome to the Mystical Mother Earth Show. I am your host, Golden Hawk, and with me is the fabulous and enchanting Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Hello. That was pretty wild.
Yeah. I was very fired up when I thought of that. So I did turn it down at one point, but yeah. It is a... It's a big energy song. Oh, by the way, that is Rush, Spirit of Radio.
Oh, okay. So yeah, because I was looking at the, because you posted the lyrics, and so
exactly.
I was looking at the Invisible Airways crackle with life, bright antenna brisks with the energy. I thought that was emotional feedback on timeless wavelengths. And then I'm going, That was, like, amazing, and I'm going, now, this other stuff, I'm looking at this going, I was like, what was Goldie feeling when she picked that? Because I was curious, like, some of the
I was actually in the forest when I picked that a few days ago.
Okay.
And because I was going through all these songs, and I did recognize when I downloaded it the day, because I actually downloaded this a few days ago.
Yeah,
I said, you know, it's a lot of rock and roll, because there was some Carpenters had a potential of making it this week, some other stuff, you know, but I was really fired up because, well, one of the things that really struck me in this profound week of clarity, which I have had, of course, clarity comes with that, you know, all beloved price of integration came before clarity, and before integration came challenges and,
mm-hmm.
and pain. But it was, it is for me always that moment when you, because like the day I was in the forest when I heard this song was the day I woke up and I felt a freedom, you know,
mm-hmm.
the shift happened. I knew I was not in this space of,
yeah.
heaviness and this burning in my stomach, which is what we're going to talk about tonight. Before we do that, though, I want to thank a listener. I want to thank Susan from the bottom of my heart. You sent me an email about last week's show when we had the 7 minutes or whatever it was of you know, dead air. And it was a very emotional show, actually, and you know, I processed on the air, and I had a tremendous clearing from it. And when you sent me your email, Susan, I was in a really, really dark space, which, by the way, intentionally I was there. In other words, I didn't stop myself from going into that dark space. I actually very much allowed myself, but again, we'll talk about that on the show. But when I got your email, it was just like this fairy dust had been sprinkled in my world, because I knew that, okay, well, you're in the dark space, so you can integrate it, Goldie. But, you know, once it's integrated, you know, there is a world out there that is so just delightful and wonderful and joyful. And, you know, when the radio show affects people, I am deeply affected by that. I love when you guys send emails telling me how the show affects you. I don't always respond but by writing back, but believe me, I respond in that I feel it, and I'm delighted by it. So thank you so much, Susan. I really appreciate it. It was a great email. It was a great share.
Anyway. Yeah, it was. I got the copy, and it was great. It was also to me, and you
right.
know, and that was a show where you had thought maybe you were going to, you know, edit the 7 minutes, and then you didn't. But the 7 minutes really meant something to Susan when she was listening. She got so much out of it, which was even better, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was great.
It was awesome.
yeah.
Well, this whole week has been pretty awesome. You know, for the people that know me on Facebook, there really has been... I mean, I'm getting, forget, you know, it is this week, but I'm really getting the sense personally that the rate at which we are going to move through our experiences, and it's so interesting because I don't know about everybody else, but I know me and Janine, we discuss how I can't command the timing of these experiences, but I know when I've been triggered, and then I know when I'm in the process of just allowing myself to think and feel whatever is triggered for that experience. And then there is a defining moment where it's integrated, and it literally, my body goes back into homeostasis, which is, I'm very conscious of it. I'm conscious when my belly has no tightness in it. I'm conscious when I'm just in balance, you know, and chugging along old country roads. And what I'm really getting, and I don't think this is just me, I think it's all of us, is that it's becoming more and more rapid. I mean, there's less downtime and more movement. And, you know, the movement's kind of, you know, it's almost like get in alignment or be plowed over by it. Mm-hmm. And it, like I said, what's interesting about the alignment is, I'm just going to share, because I want to share about the experience with when I burnt the initiation art.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Okay. So last week I had an issue with my boss. I was working one day, and her husband got sick, and they said, don't come in. And so then I was working no days. And what really triggered me on the surface was Anya and Sahana's mom had asked me to work on this day, but the hours overlapped with what?
My cat just jumped.
Hi, Blackie. I told you Blackie wanted to get on the air today.
That's funny. Sorry.
No, that's okay. It's all good.
Wait, Blackie's a little jumpy.
Okay, so anyway, so I was deeply triggered by not working, and then again, I was missing out on some money because I had an opportunity to work at another family, and that fell through. So, okay. Now, what was really interesting about my trigger wasn't just like, you know, damn, you know, what a whacked out thing. You know, I'm working one day, and, you know, now I'm not working at all. My experience was I was visualizing really negative things. I mean, involving guns and pistol whipping my boss. I mean, I'm telling you, like, there was an anger in me that was, I guess it's a rage. I don't know if I would. Do you hear that echo? Did you hit something?
No, I didn't touch anything. I wonder if Blackie did it.
I don't know. I gotta watch how I talk about this because I'm sensing the energy is going beyond point, Goldie. Okay, so I got really dark. Here's what I want everybody to know. I am becoming super conscious that it is safe to be dark when you do it. Oh, it's me. That's my headphones. And okay.
You know, I think the word is probably reactionary, but noticing the reaction. Right.
See, the reaction is you don't want to start sending emails to your boss, which I did not do. I wrote one, but I didn't send it. You're absolutely right. You don't want to be reactionary. But what I'm kind of pointing, well, and I did learn to hold it in, and actually, I mean, I haven't responded to her at all, and, you know, wait till you hear as we get further down the story. But what I was super conscious of was that I was super pissed off. I mean, like, it was no joke, the visuals and the anger that was inside of me, and I was very clear to myself, okay, you need a safe space to feel this. Do not ignore what you are feeling here. So I set it up that I went to a girlfriend's house who has a fire pit. And, you know, what's so amazing about Janine's initiation art experiences and the work that she's happy to share with anybody who wants to know, you can contact her on Facebook. not that we can't explore it now, but I just want to keep telling the story. What's amazing about the initiation art, and I got this today when I was in the forest, is that it's about self-initiation. I do not have to be initiated to another level of awareness by a god, a deity, a guru, or a master. I'm doing this. And I know how to do this. Because the way I do it is, I allow myself to absolutely express my anger. I mean, I feel it in my body. Because what I did is I went to Janet's house. I had made a piece of art from a piece of driftwood with the intention of infinite trust. That was the initiation when I made that piece of art, was that I was going to experience infinite trust. And I've had this piece, I'd say, I don't know, about 6 months. And after my boss's trigger, because what I was realizing was clearly that it was not just about me not working last week. It was about this fear of me being able to sustain myself and to support myself, and that I felt I couldn't. It was like, you know, one of the first talks I had during the week was with Janine, and she immediately gave me the clarity of, this is a global experience. You know, this is mass consciousness feels this. And I was like, which is why I understand how it got so big inside of me so quickly. I mean, it was like, you know, because it's literally from an empathic point of view, the entire world is afraid right now. I mean, whether it's Japan who, you know, is, you know, basically going underwater, or it's the rest of, you know, the religions, because most of the religions, at least if you're Catholic, which is, shit, there's at least 2 billion Catholics that believe we're coming to the end of the world. Like, that is scaring people. And so I really, really understood. I was like, I need to express this. So I got that it was a global experience, but it really didn't matter from the point of view of that explained the intensity I was going through. But nonetheless, I still had to go through it. And here's what I want to share is, when I burned the initiation art piece, I was at my girlfriend's house, and I she knew exactly what I was doing, and I had told her, you know, what had happened. I said, you know, I'm going to verbalize. I'm going to talk to the fire, and I'm going to become that which is inside me. You know, I'm not going to edit this. And I was like, you can stay outside with me, or you can go in and, you know, do whatever you want to do for the day. And she started outside with me, and then she went in, which was, because I just verbalized a true rage that I really believe is, this is a rage that has been inside me long, long before my boss told me I couldn't work one day that last week. I mean, this is the rage of 5 people beating the crap out of me when I was 15, and being, you know, doing things under the influence of cocaine that you know, compromised myself, and knowing it at the time and feeling really angry at myself for doing it and still doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, there was such deep-seated rage, because I'm really not an angry person, but what I'm realizing is, oh, it's stuffed. And what's happening now is it wants to come out. And if what I want people to know is, see, by doing it at the fire, there was something so, I was feeling it. It's so funny because I woke up, I think before I was even told that I didn't have the gig, the nanny gig, I woke up and was like, I'm fired up today, and posted flames. You know, it's like I was literally reading the psyche, because I had not even been triggered yet and was already connecting with fire. Because it really is the fire is, this is the phoenix. And the phoenix is hands down allowing ourselves to feel the rage, the anger, you know, all the stuff that quote unquote good girls or good boys don't experience. You know, because you know, good girls and boys keep their composure, and you know, smile pretty for the camera, you know, even though you're dying
right.
inside. You know, it's like these are all, we're coming to the space where the frequency is genuinely, I mean, it's inside of me. And it's so funny because, see, now simultaneously as I'm experiencing these incredibly, you know, this is, they're core issues with me. And I can feel it's like, there's a core of me because it hits like every, it hits my childhood, it hits teenage years, and it hits, you know, my being a woman in older, you know, entering middle age. It's a conscious stream that I can apply to each one of those timelines in my life. And what I'm also getting in the middle of these, well, it's not in the middle. So it's really dark. I'm telling you guys, the way to master the world right now is to master our darkness. We're just kidding ourselves if we think, you know, getting a DNA upgrade by, you know, Shante, you know, you can play with those things. I'm not saying don't do them. But if you want your life to upgrade where you are handling the frequencies that are coming into the planet, the solution is elegant. It is simply integrate your pain. I mean, it's because in genuinely integrating your pain, you will find a profound level of increase of awareness of self, being self-centered. People think it's wrong, but you know, we all know that from a soulful space, and clear, and the synchronicities. I mean, the synchronicities that are happening in my life right now are truly profound because it's something me and Janine talked about earlier. Because I got this in the woods today too. Like, my synchronicities are showing up that, like, I'll be posting these videos of people sharing philosophies about, you know, life, and they'll be saying, like, exactly what I'm saying to, you know, another friend in another email, or, you know, it's like, it really is, it's the language is so similar, it's undeniable. And I go, you know, it hit me today in the woods, it's like, because, see, that's life itself is showing up in those who life is showing up in. You know, who is life showing up in? Those that are integrating themselves. That's who life is showing. Because life is very different than the mental energy that's coming in. And, you know, I can't tell you enough. The mental energy, the best way to describe it is that's the stuff that we start calling into our crown chakras. Come into me. That's mental energy says that you're not something. Where life clearly says you're everything. You are the whole kit and caboodle because life is the whole kit and caboodle. And it's now, and of course, this comes with a paradox because by golly, all great wisdom does. Mm-hmm. And the paradox is we life moving through us is the oneness that everybody speaks of. That is the connection and the interconnection of all of us. But the paradox is we experience it uniquely and individually. Because it is not just about being in oneness. It is just as much about being unique. No matter, there's no place we're going to go in the ascension where we're going to become one big blob of light with everybody else. I mean, that those teachings are just preying on the fear of people not wanting to be alone. I mean, that is truly, it's just not the truth. It's not where we're going. But that doesn't mean you won't look at your neighbor and your triggers and your lovers and your teachers and your parents and your family as you. Because whatever they're bringing our way, it really is for me to experience. Because that's the soul's purpose. It's like, it's, you know, paradoxes are a pain in the ass because they're opposite truths existing in the same space. So we really don't have the language. And again, this is my perspective. Take it, leave it, do whatever you want to do with it. But I can tell you that the more I sit, because here's the key of the darkness, one of the keys anyways. One of the keys of darkness is stop telling it to be light. Let the darkness be. I mean, truly, the heart opens up when darkness sits at the table. It truly is. The compassion you can have for yourself. I couldn't believe when I was visualizing, you know, just going to town. I mean, violently going to town on my boss. My heart was just, it was like I became the witness of this violent aspect of myself. And in the witness of it was this divine compassion that just literally blew me off my socks. I understood my soul, not from words, but from sheer experience, how the soul doesn't look at anything negatively. I mean, there's no judgment. There's only experience. I mean, that's and feelings. The feelings can be felt, but not to judge the feeling. I did not judge myself at all for the dark experience, dark things. I just literally had no resistance to it. And I'll tell you, when it was over, when I woke up the following day, I mean, it was amazing. My father gave me clarity, which was an amazing thing. The synchronicities started going. It's like I can really feel myself not just talking about this, but actually experiencing levels of awareness that, I mean, I can share with you the simplicity of, you know, everybody knows I had those, I had Daniel Jacobs on a couple of weeks ago talking about portals. And everybody knows, you know, when I talk with George Kavassalis, I personally, I have been very interested in portals because, you know, it really was that I wanted to get this, I just wanted to get the hell out of here. And if you're going to talk portals, well, then I need to learn about portals because I want to get the hell out of here. And it's so funny because the more I integrate my darkness, it's not that you get the hell out of here. It's literally we become all of here. And when you become all of here, there's no need to leave. I mean, it really is. It's so powerful. It's so powerful because it's experiential. It is not about the words. It's about you actually feel okay in your own body and in your own being. You're at peace, genuinely.
You know what strikes me with that is that's so great because as you're talking and you're saying, you know, go into the dark. Don't
push it away. Don't call in light to protect yourself from it. None of that.
Because, you know, the words that just came to me, and, you know, they're words used a lot, but for me to describe that, it was to meet the challenge, not avoid the challenge, not misinterpret the challenge.
Exactly. But
what's so amazing is the process by which you just explained, and I was defining it as meeting the challenge. Once you do, there is no, what you just said, but it's an organic process that you can't rush,
you can't force it, right? You got to sit with it until it goes away.
What's so cool is that you arrived at, there's no need to flee, and there's nothing
right
to
on.
Flee,
right
you know,
on.
and so that's
very
just
true.
Right, and you know, and it doesn't mean, as you know, that meeting the challenge means, oh, all the challenges are gone now. You know, no, it's just meeting the challenge of then, you know, and what comes up, you know, there's sort of an aha or your, you know, breakthrough or synchronicity.
There is, absolutely.
But then it takes you, you know, maybe further, which I find interesting that there's sort of an acceleration going on with that meeting the challenge. But what I also, what, today, when I was watching you turned me on to the Antarctica by Werner Herzog, and I was watching that today, and it was just so amazing, because what struck me was that my favorite part or my most comfortable part, well, there was the penguins were great, but the other thing was I loved the lava volcano, and they called it the core lava lake, and you were just talking about it's not outside you, it's in you, and so you know, so into the core of it all, and
the volcanoes in the world. That's what I'm feeling.
But here's the beautiful representation in today, you know, when I was watching that documentary on Antarctica, that the guide who was the expert on the volcano and the core lava lake, he said, when dealing with the volcano, you stood on the edge and you never turned your back on it. Or if you saw the lava kind of ready to explode, you watched where it went, and you looked it, and you watched it, and then you just, as it was coming down, you just moved out of its way, as opposed to don't turn your back, don't hide, don't crouch over. You wanted to see where it was going. And
it's the only way to not to avoid being hit by it.
Right, it was so remarkable. Right, with that you had to stand.
So
you know, I'm watching it, and it really fascinated me. I was like, here in this ice field of, you know, 9,000 feet thick ice, you know, and there's this volcano, and if you look in, you see this core lava lake, and it was amazing geologically, and for me, then. Obviously, with process, I was picking up a lot too, because, you know, you don't, and in meeting the challenge, which is what you're talking about, you literally are, you're not turning your back on the lava, you're watching it, you're facing it forward. You never hide your face and go, "Oh, here it comes." No, because you have to watch it. And so,
well, I'm actually giving it a voice. I was verbalizing it at that fire.
Well, that's so, you were, because what's so cool about that, like, okay, so, you know.
And I won't, you know, I wasn't screaming, but I mean, I was letting it out.
Great, and you know, it's funny, because I guarantee you, well, first of all, that's very deeply connected and indigenous, because that's exactly what, you know, when I was watching the cave Werner Herzog about the cave paintings, and also, there is a voice, you know, there's a voice to these. I mean, probably if you were to listen to a poet or an indigenous person talk about the core lava lake, they would say that it was saying something. Or, you know, those are those refinements or the elegance that you're talking about. And so, so I'm just listening to you, and I was like, oh, my God, there's, because you said the core in the fire, and I'm like, it's
no,
like
that
the
was
core.
No. Listen, interrupt. Your interruptions are amazing.
Right.
I also thought
about
playing Best Friend by Queen today, just so you know. That also came up. that has yet to be, that will have an appearance at some point.
Right.
But anyway, I'll keep going.
I
want to share about the portals too. But you're absolutely right. That is definitely number one. Challenges they're not here to kick our asses. They can kick your ass if you turn away from it. But you guys, I swear to God, I don't know what it is about me, but I love being challenged, because I love the two words that came to my head, and I'm just going to share, were conquering and winning. I love beating the challenge. I do. I love it. It's part of the reason why I've broken the law so often in my life, because truth be told, because I know I can. Mm-hmm. You know, what's law? I mean, you know, right? That's a whole other story. I'll talk about that on a political note. But and I'm not saying I don't. But the truth is, if the key, there's a belief that we must look at challenges as something that really make us stronger. And they don't make us stronger. They show us, they're like, the challenge literally brings to the game, like, when I had fear today of going into Hawk Rock. But because I was afraid to do it, I was then able to go, okay, so can you inject some courage into this, Goldie? And I was like, hell yeah, I can. So I did. You know, it's like, it won't feel the same if I'm not fearful. And that's not to say that we're not going to a place. I mean, whatever we're going to birth, this new humanity that's going to birth, we're not going to have that this duality anymore. But we can't leave it until it's integrated. So, you know, let's be here now. Being here now, the polarity is here. But don't be afraid of it, because you can't have one side of the coin without having the other. By laws of physics, that's impossible. So if you're afraid, you do have courage. You know, and it's just about digging inside yourself and expressing it. Okay, so anyways, I want to get back to that portal thing. So everybody knows, you know, I am cuckoo puff about portals, because I did want to leave. Well, and this is what's so funny, right? So yesterday, I had the astute awareness while reading one of Dr. Susan Lee's way older posts about superconsciousness. She basically shared that the portal is our higher self, and that the higher self, and I know this from George's work, you know, and Daniel Jacobs, it's funny, they're all saying it, that we, you know, when we drop in our dimensions, we leave a piece of ourself in each dimension. We're not down here in the third dimension and first and second alone. You know, who do you think your guides are? Your guides are your higher self, you. And all of a sudden it struck me that, okay, so my higher self is the way I'm going to get to other dimensions, other realities, including the fifth dimension, which is, you know, the next dimension up. Because I can tell you, the fourth dimension for me feels much more as it's a stepping stone. Because the more you let go, the fourth dimension is the dimension of mind. And if you need to play in the mind, there's infinite possibilities and infinite timelines to play with, and that is all perfectly fine. That dimension was built for that. I'm done with the mind. I mean, the mind has really kicked my ass for long enough, and I am recognizing myself as going into truly mindless experiences and beyond the mind experiences, and the higher self. Because it struck me that if the higher self is my portal to the fifth dimension, you know, because you could even look at it as the twin flame. It's not necessarily, you know, a lover. You know, it's the part of us that I can tell you from my perspective, I know my higher self at this point is sending down itself. That's what the portal is going to be. And how am I going to recognize it? Well, how easy is this? It's going to be the exact same DNA as me. You know, it's like, does it? It was like when that hit me so profoundly. Like, this isn't about me having to find a portal in the forest or find a portal in a tree or in the sky, or it wouldn't be another master or, you know, another god or goddess giving this, you know, opening this up. It's like, all I got to do is find me. And I'm going, I really do get that the integration that I'm doing of my dark and shadow side, every time I integrate a piece of my shadow, my fifth dimensional self becomes part of me. I become more aware of the portal is actually opening up inside of me. There's nowhere I need to go. And it was so funny because today when I was in the forest, I got very drawn to, I was taking pictures. And I kept taking pictures of all the trees with these little fairy doors at the bottom, you know, portals. And I laughed because I had never seen any of these before. The minute I integrated that the portal was in me, then I started taking pictures of all these, you know, holes in trees. that I and it was interesting because I was like, I'm only going to take pictures of these holes if the tree is still living, because there were some trees that had, you know, big holes at the bottom, and then I looked up and it's like they were dead, you know, and I was like, no, that portal. And there were some trees that had the start of a hole and then it stopped, you know, and it was covered with bark or wood, and I was like, you know, it just really, you know, I can tell there. I mean, I'm getting another level of awareness of all of this on the outside because I've integrated another level on the inside.
Right, and I love that there's nothing to flee after you arrive at something, and then it's the portals are inside you. It's like, oh, it's like, so the need to keep going outward and flee kind of just dissipates, or, you know, no longer, you know, it's or
well,
shift.
I mean, because I'm fascinated with being here right now.
No, but it's a turnaround, so to speak.
turnaround too. It is. No, it well, and it's so weird,
it's like,
because
it's an inversion. You know, it's like an inversion.
Well, it's an see, that's what it's the toroid, because the turnaround is that I'm becoming genuinely self-sufficient. My energy really is, the answers I seek, the questions I ask, they're all internal.
And how have you arrived?
The outside world,
the challenges.
Well, the outside world can still trigger me,
right.
And that's a beautiful thing. I wouldn't want that to stop, because the integration needs to be triggered. You know, we became pretty good stuffers, you know, stuffing stuff, because shit, you know, the stuff, you know, I wasn't prepared for that. I had to be a drug addict for 12 years because I'm telling you, I was nowhere near prepared to feel what I am feeling now. But I am prepared now. And now that I am, I mean, there really is, there's no denying it. I am becoming stronger. And it's not, there's not a confidence, meaning it is confidence, but it's not confidence. It's really, I'm becoming present. And presence is for me, the knowingness that life and what's moving through me are one. I am one with life.
Yeah, and there's nothing to, when you're in presence, there's nothing to flee. It's like that doesn't even occur. You know, there's,
right, and there's nothing to grab either, because it's not just about running away from. I'm also not running towards anything.
Right, right.
You know, I don't, I'm not, you know, get me the DNA upgrade. Shit, you know.
Right.
I mean, it's, I'm just, it hit me very clearly. Like, I love that the pain and the, all the stuff that hurt me so bad the first 30 years of my life. I'm so excited that, like, this is where, this is the gift, you know, because now when I experience what just damn near just wiped me out in the first 30 years is putting me back together in the second half of my life.
Yeah, and then you see how you prepared yourself.
Pardon?
It's like you couldn't have that without this. So it's like, oh, and then you start to see how that worked well for you, even though, because it's like it prepared you, or it's almost like, you know, you couldn't be you without that. So
it's all me. That's
right,
exactly
right.
That's
right.
Absolutely. It's all me. And because, I mean, I've had great times in my life, even in the first 30 years when all these shitty things were happening. I mean, truth be told, I mean, hanging out and doing lots of drugs and making lots of money and going to casinos and living in the fast lane, I wore that well.
Right.
I have no regrets for the fast life I lived and all that I experienced. It's so funny, though, because, you know, one of the things that I'm getting in the second half of my life is, everything that there were so many dreams that didn't hit for me, dreams of having children, my own children, being married, that whole white picket fence, you know, Sleeping Beauty concept I was very much attached to that at a time when, because I believed with all my heart that was going to make my life better. I just believed it so strongly that I needed to be loved by somebody else to experience the joy and the love that I want to experience. And I'll tell you, I was getting this today. When I go to Hawk Rock in the Chambers, when I leave from Scott's, it takes about 55-60 minutes, about an hour. And as I was driving, I was just kind of running it through my awareness, going, I knew once I was going to the Hawk Rock, I knew before I even left that I was going to go to Hawk Rock. I could feel myself going, challenge yourself, because the Antarctica documentary challenged me that I was watching people go underwater in these ice cave things and through these, you know, when they went in the air vents created by the volcano, and they had this, you know, I was literally in fear watching them. I could feel myself going, oh my God, I don't know that I would do that. I don't know that I would go into nature's, you know, tunnels, because I could feel fear in my body as they were doing it. And so, of course, today I was like, okay, well, I don't exactly have, you know, a volcano or, you know, Antarctica ice and snow around me, but I can face a fear today. I can self-initiate. And it really came across very consciously. It's like, go to Hawk Rock. Hawk Rock is a pretty challenging hike. On a scale from 1 to 10, it's about an 8, where when I go to the chambers are about a 4. And but I was like, no, I'm going today. And it was funny because the clouds look like rain. I tried to call Scott to see if he would do a, you know, an internet check for me for the town I was in, because I had looked at, you know, in my hometown. I didn't look 50 minutes away. Couldn't get a hold of him, and I went, screw it, you're going in anyways, Goldie. I mean, but it wasn't, I wanted to go in. I literally came out a different way, in a different direction, because I was like, keep challenging yourself, Goldie. Do something unknown. And I remember thinking to myself, tell the audience tonight, do things differently. Literally go drive different ways to get to, you know, friends' houses or work. Use new reference points everywhere you can, because the fluidity of being able to shift effortlessly, shifting on a dime, is incredibly important in the energy we're living in right now. I mean, it's the ball bearing, it's the lubrication, it's a tool. So do it consciously. You know, I mean, I was laughing, going, okay, I'm even going to say this: wipe your ass with your other hand.
premeditated that?
I did premeditate that. That one struck me in the, and I said, I'm saying it.
I'm going to say it.
Well, because everything you do different is actually from a synapse brain.
Yeah, I agree.
You walk in the path less traveled, and it's important to be able to walk a path less traveled, because everything that we're experiencing right now, this isn't from our past. This is something very unique happening to not just humanity. Everything that's manifest here that's conscious, which if it's physical, it's conscious. I mean, you know, the air, including the air, is going through change right now. You know, it's everyone, everything. And so we have to learn how to surf change. We don't have to, but personally, you know, I don't mind getting pummeled, but for me, I'll learn, well, what are the skills needed? What are the tools needed? I mean, that's who I am, because whatever situation I'm in, okay, if I'm here, well, how do I work it? How do I work it? That's the way my mind and my essence thinks. And, you know, integrating the darkness, being able to, you know, do things differently. Don't, you know, get yourself out of ruts and patterns, and not just ruts, because some of us don't even feel like they're ruts. You know, if every Thursday night you do Chinese, you know, do Thai food or, you know, whatever.
No, right,
yeah.
Right. No, I think that's such a good practice, you know, and the fact that even someone would become aware of the fact that they're doing something differently, you know, is even part of it. It's not just doing it differently. It's becoming aware of the fact that you're doing it differently. It's like it does shake things up and shift things around and, you know,
it really does.
Yeah,
it really does.
And
it's so simple to apply this to our own lives. Be self-initiative.
Mm.
You know, bring change, not because change happens to you, but because you bring change to your life. There's tremendous strength in that kind of choice. It really helps you to feel not, you know. And again, see, here's the ironic part. It helps you to feel like your presence in your own experience. But, you know, of course, and the polar opposite, because we live in a polarized experience, is also, and then accept everything that comes your way. I mean, you know, this is, you can't do anything just one-sided, because that's the imbalance. You know, nothing is inherently a right or wrong choice. It's all being in touch with yourself. Like, it's so funny. I have a friend of mine who, like, for me, with this whole situation with my boss, which, you know, by the way, I'm just going to drop this. Okay, so right before I came on the show tonight, she's already canceled another day for me this week. So, you know, it's kind of funny, you know, that, you know, it's just not going to end. I mean, I'm clearly looking for a new job, and I've been looking for a new job. Nannying doesn't seem to – the door is no longer effortlessly opening for me in nannying. And the kind of clarity that I'm getting and the kind of almost being kicked out of the whole, you know, out of the whole, you know, career, I'm sensing that I need to think creatively. Because, you know, why am I sharing with you do things differently? Because that's what I need to do. So, you know, I'm getting to the point where, you know, it's like, see, for me, this is the interesting thing, why I love that I have Janine in my life. See, to do something different, I am aware of my mind wanting to do something different. And in my humble opinion, inspiration and creativity should not come from your mind. It should come from an idea, just kind of enters you. And I know that, like, artists and musicians, authors,
yeah,
you guys know, because part of your, you know, job is, you know, because how many people, when you see in these songwriting shows, they're like, I don't know how they force a song. You know, they're like, okay, you've got 10 hours, write a song. I'm like, you know, how artificial that is. But I'm not quite sure, because you know, being a nanny, I've been creative, but this is challenging me in a way that it's like, don't use your mind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying to myself, don't use your mind, but by golly, be on point with awareness when something comes up, you know, because an action's going to be needed. I just don't know what that action is. I don't know if I'm not going to do nannying, you know, of course I do radio. That would be great if I, you know, a sponsor came my way, but I'm not, see, the mind goes, okay, well, go look for a sponsor, you know, and I'm like, no, I'm not doing this from my mind. I'm going to do this from infinite trust, and infinite trust says a sponsor has to come to me. That's how I, you know, it's got to be manifested that it comes to me, not that I'm out there chasing and creating.
Well, I love that you said you don't know, because honestly, when you're deepening and you're moving along organically like that, yeah, I mean, you're meeting challenges, you're very, that way you're very present, you're current, it's not, and, you know, you're proactive and you're paying attention and you're, you know, it's not about, not even about reinterpreting the challenge, just like, you know, so that you twist it so that you can go, oh, you know, it's like just meeting the challenge and
right.
When you're
living
day to day
and meeting the challenge, right?
But
on,
when
right
you're
on.
Deepening and you know, very significantly, that you don't know, and that's really actually good, and you don't need to know, and that's even more
right. God
telling.
Bless the mind, just
it's more telling
me and goes, but
deepening.
I want to know.
No, but the thing is in the deepening process, it's very telling that you don't know, because that's what the deepening process is. So,
okay.
You know,
okay.
So it's like, you know, it's almost confirmation that you are in a deepening process.
Okay. This is why we have Janine on the line.
Right. But you know, I was really struck. There's a couple things that have been going on for me that,
okay.
You know, interrelate with you as, you know, we touch base on different days and, you know, and,
right on,
and just
right on.
Specifically, I mean, there's a couple things that.
No, share. I love your share.
Yeah, that yesterday I just happened to watch a Werner Herzog documentary on the French cave that was painted by people 30,000 years ago that this cave was discovered. So, you know, that was so, and it just so happened, and Goldie and I hadn't talked, and it just so happened that she watched a Werner Herzog documentary on Antarctica, and they're both striking, and they're elegant, and they're just of a caliber that, you know, is poetic, and, you know, the quality is just there. And I read
it
a comment that what strikes me so much about living life is there was something written about Werner Herzog today that I want to read, because
okay.
It just,
yeah, right
it
on.
Just is so, it's so telling about, you know, where we can be in life if we meet our challenges in a way that you don't know, but you're just, you're, you know, there's a quality that you're in, or you're, you know, so it says here, this is about Werner Herzog. His films often feature heroes with impossible dreams, people with unique talents in obscure fields, or individuals who find themselves in conflict with nature. French filmmaker François Truffaut once called Herzog the most important film director alive. An American film critic, Roger Ebert, stated that Herzog has never created a single film that is compromised, shameful, made for pragmatic reasons, or uninteresting. Even his failures are spectacular. And I just find that, like, so, you know, if I, you know, role model wise, or, you know, kind of like just something I was so attracted to and admired about, because when I was watching the documentary on the caves, it put me in a state, or as I would call it, like there's certain tones to things that I watch that where I can tell how I feel. And it's like, there was just something so well done, and it took me to a place that was so genuine. And then it was so ironic that Goldie had watched, and this is totally obscure because we've never talked about Werner Herzog.
We've never talked about it. I couldn't believe when you said you watched it too.
And out of nowhere, and she had even tried to get in touch with me, and I happened to have kind of a busy day, but all day I kept wanting to kind of be alone and be quiet, and, you know, and she sensed that about me, and I had been, people were around me a lot yesterday, and I could feel this need. I was like, I had this inner need to almost be just alone and quiet, and it was so ironic that I ended up, you know, watching about going into ancient caves, and I was like, no, that's a place you can really be alone, you know. It was just so perfect, you know, like it was premonitionary in a way, and then of course, I had another experience where Friday morning was raining off and on in places, downpouring, and I really had this like kind of nervous energy. Just, you know, from books, that, you know, wanting book signings to be well, and a lot of on my mind in terms of taking care of things to make book signings work. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff you do to take care of that. And I was finding myself feeling nervous, and I thought, it's raining, but you know what? I'm going out in the rain, and I'm going to run, because that's what really my body loves to do, run on these dirt paths and these grass paths.
Well, what do you always say to me every morning when you call? What are you?
What? Tell me.
I'm a warrior, not a victim.
Right. Well, that's okay. So here I am on Friday morning, right? And I'm feeling kind of like, Janine, just run this off, you know, run in the rain. And of course, my new book is totally rain. It loves the rain. I'm covered, soaking wet, and I'm running on dirt, and I'm in the woods, and I hit this place where there's just, and I haven't felt this for a while, but for just like a very short period of time, I hit this place where my stride felt really perfect and smooth, and I felt very strong, and in my head or wherever, I heard myself say silently, but I'm a warrior, not a victim, and it was just like, and then it was like as if I was saying it for myself, but I could almost like hear me saying it to someone else who kind of needed to hear it, you know. And I was like, I'm a warrior, not a victim. This is, and then I found that was incredible. And I was soaking wet, and I was covered with mud on my legs because it gets kind of shot up, and it just was really nice moment. So then this is how life works, you know. So then I'm talking to a client as I'm grocery shopping, actually, and I tell him the great story about, you know, I'm a warrior, not a victim. And he goes, I love that. And I go, well, you can have it, you know. And I'm like, take it. It's yours too now, you know. So I come home now. That's that story. Well, I never really got the mail out of the mailbox for Friday. So Saturday, I think I go run again, and, you know, and I come and I go to the grocery store, and I come home, and I collect the mail, and I, you know, I almost throw this one piece of mail out, like it's from like the Homedale chief of police to, you know, I'm thinking, you know, you think it's kind of like everybody's getting it. So anyway, something says open it, or even nothing says open it. I just open
it,
which was unusual because it would have been something I would have thrown out. And it was this notification in this beautiful invitation that I was the recipient of a citizen service award for, and that I would be honored in a ceremony on October 11th. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, you know, it's kind of like out of nowhere. So you're going, is this for what I did like almost 2 years ago this December? And I'm, and you know, now, and I didn't, it didn't even strike me then, but that was given to me on Friday as probably I'm in the woods going, I'm a warrior, not a victim. And,
right on.
You know, and here already I've been awarded this award for being a warrior and not victim.
Well, and just so everybody knows, this is when Janine saved the woman's life at the book signing, which we've spoke about, but just
right. And that was almost 2 years ago in December that I, you know, another surprise out of nowhere where life just meet you with these things, and you know, it's instinct. How are you going to handle it? Usually, instinctively, is better than, you know, overthinking things. So, you know,
absolutely.
I did instinctively give her CPR, and it's a long, long story, but she turned out to be okay, which is a miracle in itself. But what struck me was that was such a long ago. It was gone, and then this award comes in, and you know, I just felt like, and when Goldie was talking earlier, I went, you know, so much of the work that we do in meeting the challenge, no matter how hard it is, and if you don't think you can handle it, because even going, I can't handle this, and, you know, part of your higher self's going, of course you can, you know, and...
And that was a cute little higher self laugh.
You know, and, right, it's like, you know, and so you're arguing with yourself going, no, I can't. And, you know, yes, you can. And so, but I do see that just by even this recipient award thing coming in so much later than I thought, that was a long ago forgotten thing. But really, this is like a cumulative. It's like the more challenges you meet, it's like a foundational thing. It's a forever change. It's forever done. It's
well, that's the fractal, right? Everything in life is a fractal. The minute you put something new into it, it literally changes everything.
It does, and it's a foundational
that's what a fractal
thing
does.
And an accumulating thing. And it's like,
you know, it would be you know, modern day's man of money in the bank, you know. But to me, this is something else in some other bank. Like, you know, this is like the work you do is forever, like, documented
noted.
Or logged or you're so which takes me to just you know, because we did talk about we didn't talk about this, but Dan, was it the key where what it does to me, I think, is fortify the radiant being of ourselves, like
let's talk about it.
Where I think that as you bank this meeting the challenge and you handle it and you are the warrior despite
say this because you know because you do
that you are
this is important stuff
right that you are the warrior rather than the victim, even if you want to, you know, go I am the victim and then, you know, it's like now you're the warrior. But the more you meet the challenge, the more you say yes to Hawk Rock, the more you say, you know, you meet the woman lying on the floor and you bend down and you handle it, or, you know, or you go in the woods and you run in the rain and you just feel this surge of warrior rather than victim. I think that it does intensify or create a stronger radiance I believe of our true self. And,
Because you're focusing yourself. When these feelings come up and we learn to master them, that is inside, right? I mean,
yeah, and I feel it's banked. It's like a foundation that creates a stronger, like that radiant being that Whitley talked about. That I feel that
Stryver.
Whitley Stryver. I feel that it like strengthens it. It gives it more radiance. It takes you up notches, so to speak.
That's the integration.
I agree. And that's why, you know, not to say that, you know, challenges come and, you know, with like the next email that was, you know, or me with the woman who wouldn't make eye contact with me. And I'm like, what? You know, and it's like,
Wait a minute, though. Before you leave that, I want to share something that, because you just triggered it. And I remember thinking this in the woods today, too. You know, there's so much we can do energetically that supports the outside. You know, we can put on makeup, get our hair done, buy certain clothes, eat certain foods, exercise. And I'm talking about exercising because we want to keep weight off. Like, I was just running through my head today. All the energies. Oh, by the way, reading and taking in knowledge, that's also about the outside world. It's like there's so much we can do to strengthen the ego. And what I'm finding is, but if there's something we can do to strengthen ourselves, you know, the relationship with self, the radiant being within self, the self-awareness, which is, in my humble opinion, soul incarnate. So why wouldn't we do, if you're going to put your energy somewhere, why not put your energy into the aspects that strengthen you like nobody else can? You know, it's like, I just have this, know, it's like the outside world cannot, somebody outside of you cannot say, here's courage. You cannot receive that. It's impossible and believe me, I've tried to give courage to people. I've given them encouragement. But the truth is, to get them to act must come from within them. I cannot give them courage. But when you understand the virtues are literally strengthening the self, that in this particular lifetime, the eternal self really does have more influence in what's going on because there's so much change going on. You know, are we all going to live through this? Who knows? Part of strengthening the radiant being is simply allowing yourself that you'll. I know that when I die, I mean, and I believe we're all going to die. I don't think we're going to skip that part, even though we're living through things right now that used to take us down. We used to have to go through death to experience what we're experiencing. But there will be some sort of death. I don't know how it will be. But I know for me, I'm going to die consciously. Now, what does dying consciously mean? I'll tell you. This is what it means for me today. When, you know, everybody talks about these white lights, the tunnel that opens up when you die. I've actually died in a dream, and there is no death. I've been shot in the head, and I realize, oh, I'm not dead. Okay, good. So, I did leave my body when I went on the spaceship, so I experienced, but that was just my astral body. But I did experience the lightness of no density. I was quite aware of that. But to die a conscious death, okay, so there's this tunnel that everybody sees, right? You know, you leave the body, you kind of, you know, figure out, oh, I'm dead, because you're at your own funeral and you can, you know, read everybody's thoughts. Why? Because you're in spirit now, and so you're clear on so much of what we're not clear on when we're in body. So I've always heard that, you know, basically we stick around like 3 or 4 days, which gets us through the funeral, and, you know, and then the light, you know, if things are going normally, the light opens up and we go into the light. Well, in my humble opinion, this light that's opening up, that is the negative alien agenda. You know, that's what we call, you've just been recycled. Because the minute you go into that light, you're still in the matrix. And you're coming back for another lifetime. Which is, that's fine and dandy if that's your goal, to stay, you know, to manage the matrix. And that really is fine and dandy. That's fine. I'm going to die consciously. I'm not going into that light. And one of the things that I got while watching the Antarctica documentary, and Simon, you'll resonate with this, I mean, just because of your Norway, you know, that you live in Norway, I really was getting the profoundness of the silence and the mystery of, you know, kind of being up there at the end of the earth where it's, you know, so much snow. I mean, it's like Mother Nature has clearly said to the people, you know, you can build your stuff around me, but when Mother Nature wants to stomp on things in Antarctica, she stomps. You know, when she wants to do a whiteout with snow, she does. You know, it's like you start looking around at the creatures, like the seals and the penguins and, you know, the beings that are actually able to cope and thrive in such tremendous challenge from Mother Earth herself. It's actually, of course, elegant, because mm-hmm. those that do are they're remarkable in their wisdom, in their, you know, and truly, Simon, I would just put your name, you know, it's like the seals, the penguins, and Simon. because I've seen it. I've seen the elegance of living in such challenging environmental spaces. But it's like, I mean, I really did get when I was watching this that, Goldie, go into your mystery. Yeah. Because even when I die, I've already conditioned myself. I'm not going into the light. And from what I've read is, the light will be there, and inevitably it'll turn off, and then I'll be in a big black void. And boy, nothing can scare the crap out of a spirit or a soul more than a big black void. But I'm preparing myself for this. If this is the way it's going to unfold, and I believe death works this way, whatever you believe, that's what unfolds. So I believe this is how I want to do it, because I don't want to be recycled in the matrix. I want out. And I truly believe that I might not be ready today, but with the integration of my shadow side,
mm-hmm.
that black void will not scare the crap out of me. That black void will actually be the womb from which I am birthed.
No, it'll be more
in
home-like.
Authenticness. Pardon?
It'll be more home-like. It won't be a frightening place. Because
it won't be a frightening place, exactly.
The I don't know in the deepening process is actually a very it's powerful and it's, you know, profound. And you know, when you tap into that place, that's why there is a shift that can be palpable, because that's where wisdom comes from. And you know, and one of the things that I noticed, and I think this could be helpful, is when you were talking about you know, we do all these things for the outside of ourselves, and we avoid some of the work of the higher self. But what I've noticed is the saying, "I'm my own worst enemy." Well, one of the things I think about that is that is actually what people do on some level believe, and I think that if you find yourself saying that's why people are afraid to meet their emotions, to go inward. Because on some level they've made themselves their own enemy, which is absolutely, for me, like absurd. It's such a falsehood that you are not your enemy. And so what's amazing about that is how powerful a belief system can be, even if it's said in jest or lightly. It's something that you want to look at and go, I'm not my enemy at all. And if you can really stay with that and just work with that, you'll realize there's nothing about yourself or your feelings that you need to be afraid of. And that you know, that's where the turnaround goes. Because, and here's really another cool thing, as you let go of being your own enemy, because you're not, it's an absurd notion, then you let go that you actually have an outer world of enemies. Like there's a
absolutely,
you
know,
right.
Absolutely.
It's just, you know, it's just such a different way of being and a different way of seeing, you know, kind of like, you know, what's going on in that that inner lava lake core. No, don't turn around, face it.
Otherwise I'll kick your ass.
Like if anyone's listening to this and they actually say, even in a joking matter, I'm my own worst enemy, I really suggest you look at that more seriously and say, do I really believe that? Because if I do, no wonder I'm avoiding feeling my feelings and feeling deeply, and you know, and having not only the courage but the inspiration to face yourself, because it's where all the good stuff is, you know.
I'm my own worst enemy. That's a program. That's the agenda. The Matrix has programmed all of us to be I'm my worst enemy. But
we've lightly bought into it because, you know, it's one of those sayings where, you know, people say it and they say it and everybody goes, oh, yeah. But
astutely, it's totally true.
But for me, I noticed that the biggest turnaround for a person is when they stop feeling afraid of their feelings as if they are their own enemy. It's ridiculous. And a lot of people around you will support your own worst enemy, because as you start shifting into looking and feeling and going into your emotions, it is kind of like, this. I don't know about you, but I'm going inward and I'm gonna look at myself, and everybody goes, but then I think you're gonna change, and I'm not sure I'm comfortable with that, you know. And it's
I've had people say that to me.
Right.
I've had people say to me, please don't get better. Actually,
or
a
bigger,
boyfriend at the time. Yeah,
what
a wonderful thing,
right.
You know. And at
don't
the time,
see yourself
I was like,
as not your enemy.
Well, he clearly knew. He goes, if I got healthy, the things I was doing for him, which is leaving my house at 2:00 in the morning when he called me, I was literally jumping through hoops to be with him.
Exactly.
He clearly knew that would end. And it did.
Yeah, so anyway, that's just something that when you were talking, I was like, oh, there's that on my worst enemy saying that, you know, it's a theme or a tape running through people a lot. And
it's running through, in my humble opinion, if you're anywhere, it's running through all of us, you know, to say that you're not that.
Yeah.
If you're not that, it's because you've done the work. And I mean, and that's cool.
Right.
But, you know, if you haven't started, you know, the integration process, and how do I know? Look at your behaviors. We smoke cigarettes to calm ourselves down. It's like,
yes.
Well, we can't take a deep breath without having, you know, nicotine. And listen, I was a smoker for 35 years. I did drugs. It's like I'm by no means judging. I'm simply saying let's have clear awareness.
Right.
You can see, because it even hit me the other day that, you know, I was telling Janine about this today. Like, you know, in America, and I believe even in European countries now, it never used to be, but now it is, we shave our legs and we shave our armpits. And what's so interesting is, you know, we shave our armpits because society says women can't have hair under their arms. And then, you know, we spray these total chemicals, or we rub these chemicals under our arms when the, you know, we get out of the shower, you know, where our pores are open, and then we wonder why we get breast cancer and lymph node, you know, diseases, which are right under the arm. You know, it's like, what's happening is, because as I'm becoming my own best friend, which I am becoming my own, how do I know? I know that I don't wear makeup anymore because, and it's so funny, I don't even shower when I leave a lot of times. I mean, I'm going to the woods. I don't need to shower to go. But, like, in my day, I'll go to the woods and then I'll stop by, you know, maybe a sandwich shop and pick up a sandwich, or I might go grocery shopping, you know, for me and Scott. And it's so funny because my joy, and it's not just my joy, but my sustenance, I maintain my own being myself. I don't care what if somebody thinks I'm pretty, ugly, fat, skinny, happy, or sad. I mean, it's not that I don't care because I'm angry. Most of the time, I'll play my headphones. I'm jamming to some good tunes while I'm grocery shopping, and I'm, you know, making, you know, like jokes with some people. You know, I'm just, because that was another noticing I had this week of how much I really have, I'm not relying on, in general. Now, I am still triggered, and that's fine, because if I'm triggered, it's in me, and I want it out, so trigger away. But in general, when I'm in one of those times where I'm not triggered and I've had my breakthrough, mm-hmm. I am pretty much just a, you know, I'm a happy-go-lucky six-year-old who has, you know, the right to drive and you know, make certain choices, but the mentality is really, you know, I'm just exploring my world on a day-to-day basis, and I love it. In other words, everything's an adventure. You know, I don't know what's happening. It's just so interesting to me, because to be my own best friend, it really is. Energetically, I rely on me to take care of me. You know, and beautifully. Scott has assisted me in that. I mean, the timing of me and Scott is so profound in my life that, because his autism, he is so wired naturally to be self-sufficient energetically. And him being wired self-sufficient energetically, just me being in his presence, every time I try to produce those Prince Charming templates, it doesn't stick to him. It doesn't work because he's not wired for that. And what I'm finding is Scott is triggering me less and less. I mean, there's no triggering because I'm no longer in the paradigm of why can't you make me happy? I'm in the space of, God, I love my baby, because I go in all the time and he is completely cool with that, because he's in himself all the time. We don't, I mean, it's amazing how often we don't speak. The house will just be silent. I have that with my dad as well, in my dad's house. And it just seems like there's a genuine, that feels such right timing. You know, because loving me is really being my own best friend. I've never really experienced the kind of love I have for myself, ever. I mean, if I did as an infant, I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, since I've been having a conscious memory of my life, this is very new that I can be with myself, by myself. In fact, I prefer it, I would say, 80% of the time, and genuinely enjoy what I'm experiencing. I mean, just whether it's the woods or being online or watching, you know, sitcoms or whatever, you know, I mean, it's so wonderful to actually live being my own best friend. I don't smoke anymore. I stopped killing myself in that way. I mean, and that's just one of the things. I mean, there's a peace. There's a peace that I feel like I'm preparing myself because I'm traveling light right now. That is another thing. Okay, I am not committed to a job. I'm not committed to a relationship. I am not committed to shit. I'm barely committed to tomorrow. I mean, I'm just here being aware, open to whatever comes up. That really, because life has pretty much taken everything away from me. Every time I would try to focus on some kind of commitment, it seems to, you know, it doesn't stick.
Yeah.
So I'm learning just by the opposite, by not getting what I want. It used to be perseverance, but I'm really letting go of what I want. It's like I don't know what I want. I want for nothing. I'm just here. I'm just chilling. You know, kind of being aware of what the moment presents and, you know, take it from there.
Well, you know, it's, I'm sorry, did I cut you off?
No, not at all, not at all.
Oh, no, because, you know, I know, I mean, just even what you said about not wearing makeup and, you know, being yourself and obviously a deepening process because, and, you know, how I brought up,
What
Werner Herzog demonstrated to me, and I could really tell by the quality of what he does and the choices he makes that they were stunning. Now on Saturday night I caught just by accident the live music concert from Central Park in New York City on television, and what struck me was how Neil Young, who has had an amazing life of challenges and is an extraordinary creative person, and how he was up on stage and he just didn't, he's so different and a standout from most performers in that he was just so his music. And if you watched him, and it was fun to watch him live, but I'm sure you could go on. It was the Global Citizen concert. But he is who he is. He doesn't, you know, there's nobody in backstage doing his clothing picking and makeup and
right.
hair.
Right.
And he is so raw.
Yeah.
And if you watch him play, he goes into just this playful, intense zone of, you know, and it struck me as they're, you know, just so unencumbered by image of a purpose or
exactly.
persona. And it, you know, when that's demonstrated in front of me, whether it's Werner Herzog's choices or Neil Young's choices, and, you know, and then you read about their lives and Neil Young's life with, you know, two severely cerebral palsy sons from different wives, and, you know, challenges.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah,
I didn't
challenges
know that.
Throughout his whole life. Never, you know, never ever, you know, putting on this persona of perfection ever. But it's I could appreciate him as an artist so much just by watching him. Even I'll tell you, even if the sound wasn't on, I could have captured everything about Neil Young because just watching him. He was just so in his craft, in his creativity, and, you know, so not, you know, thinking about
his looks demonstrating, gee, am I getting younger? You know, I better not look like I'm aging.
Yeah,
you know, it was just so beautiful to me, beautiful.
Right on.
And,
right
and
on.
You know, it's like, I want to be like that when I grow up. You know, I mean, those are the people that they represent to me. They represent
yeah.
to me that authenticity. But with
yeah.
talent, you know, and courage, and you know, to make
well,
mistakes,
and presence,
to
and
make
presence.
Mistakes, and even their mistakes are spectacular. Even their, you know, so,
right on.
So
right
yeah,
on.
So I really, I guess, you know, there's so much that you see when you're challenged by your own process, and then yet you see these other individuals and they're modeling, you know, aspects that I truly admire and. You know, they're role models for me, you know,
yeah.
Because I'm
yeah.
attracted to that. And why am I attracted to that? Because that's inside of me, you know. And
that's exactly
so
why you're attracted
so
to that.
So the deeper you go, the more you discover that aspect of yourself, you know.
Yeah.
And,
well, I
and,
mean,
um,
it's so freeing because I can tell you, I can remember a time that I was tanning from head to toe, getting
right,
my hair
right,
done in my...
Right.
You know, it was like there was unbelievable amounts of physical energy applied. I mean, I don't even blow dry my hair unless it's going to, you know, I don't want it to freeze. I'll just take it. It's amazing how little effort I put towards what I look like, but, you know, but I put energy towards, you know, allowing myself to get pissed off or, you know, hiking through
yeah.
the woods or, you know what I mean? It's like, because it just seems to me that it's, the opportunity is here. This is not a must, but the opportunity is here to really, like, what I feel is a very unique situation, which is we are actually embodying our souls in our bodies. I from what I know from the teachers that I've worked with, this has never happened before. You know, this lifetime for all of us is the opportunity for the soul to be physical and physical body to be the soul. You know, there's, you know, the paradox. And I personally feel that this paradox is worth experiencing. You know, it's certainly worth, you know, like letting go of society's rules. I mean, I let go of society's rules progressively throughout my whole life, including the rule of you got to pay attention to the law. I mean, you know, I mean, I do pay attention to the law, but only when I want to be quite honest. And when I don't, I don't. And I have no guilt and no shame around that. But, you know, it's just, I'm finding it really interesting because it appears as we come into October, November, and December, the next 3 months, in my humble opinion, we're coming into like a bottleneck where, you know, everything feels like it. The compression is getting turned up, you know, several notches. Time and timelessness is, you know, it's being squeezed. You know, we're just coming into, even if it's only from a mental point of view, which it's not, because if you watch the Antarctica documentary, and I'm not quite sure when that came out. I think it was 2006, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think you're right.
They were already saying that, you know, that the icebergs, they were calling them entities, and they were talking about when they melt, the landscape of this planet is going to change. I mean, and that has nothing to do with, you know, whether it be earthquakes or volcanoes. The planet is heating up, and the ice is melting. So we know that. And there was an iceberg the size of, what they say, Texas or something, or the continent of Greenland. I don't know. They were just like, it was so big, this iceberg, that it has the potential. So what makes me laugh is, you know, just raising the water level, which doesn't necessarily take a whole lot to do it. It just takes the planet heating up. And, you know, it feels to me, if you watch the solar flares and everything else going on, the planet is going through changes. And, you know, the science keeps saying to us, no, but things won't happen for billions of years. And, you know, you go, You know, and then 10 years down the road, they go, holy shit, we thought it would take at least 50,000 years for that much ice to melt, and it only took 10. You know, it's like, oh, imagine that. You know, so with all the changes that are going on and scientists really not knowing the time frame on any of this, it just feels like it's good medicine to serve yourself. You know, work on the strengthening of the radiant being. Because that, I mean, for me anyways, it just feels, there's just a compelling drive
by facing the challenges.
Inside of me.
It's like, you know, not by like, you know. But no, work on the strength of the radiant being by facing the challenges, because it's not by, like, you know, like you said, like building Merkabas, or, you know, like there's no magic tricks, or
there's no shortcuts.
No shortcuts
to building the being. You gotta take your piece. The piece of the pain is self. I mean, that's the part that, you know, we've been trained not to see, because we tell that the pain is caused by that. And, you know, your finger's pointed and it's outward. That's my pain. I see it all the time on these posts on Facebook. You know, if it doesn't feel good, you know, run away from it. You don't have to sit by a negative person. I'm like, really? I mean, this is all projection, denial. The pain is us. And I'm not saying you have to sit next to a negative person, but once you're triggered, you don't have to be around that person anymore. But you've got to own the trigger as self, because it is self. I mean, that's just the truth. We need to mature, spiritually speaking, and metaphysically speaking, because it does appear that there's, you know, the Mayan calendar, I don't know if it's a death of the planet or if it's just the death of a level of awareness, you know, but the paradox is that it's here, you know, there is change coming, and, you know, that change is, in fact, I want to talk about that, okay, because I've been talking lately at the injection. This seems like a good time to share that. George did a Q&A with his forum recently, and he brought up a fascinating point that really, when he brought it up, just it went right into me, and I felt it deeply. So let me share it with you guys. On December 21st, 2012, there are going to be groups all over the world, and large groups, you know, groups of millions, if not billions of people, all linking up simultaneously, doing the, what I would call the mental injection of energy, the artificial injection. And George said that when the Earth experiences this artificial energy all at once, all over the world, on this particular day, December 21st, that she's going to respond to it. And I'm not quite sure how she's going to respond, but I, you know, it was like, I really resonated with, you know, people all over the world consciously, you know, bringing in this alien energy, whether it's the galactics or, and it's so funny, the galactics and the angels, they're all the same beings. They're just wearing different masks. It just makes me laugh, you know, how people don't see that, you know, because that's another thing. I mean, the clarity that I've been seeing is that, you know, people asking anything outside of yourself, asking for, you know, help me get through this. No, there is nothing another entity can do, even the most loving entity. If they truly love you, they're going to just sit back and watch you go through what you got to go through. That, because it really is like a universal truth. It's the only way to change your frequency and who you are is by going through it. And so, you know, it just kind of baffles me, you know, because lately I've been unfriending lots of people. I'm just like, I don't care about, you know, the angels and the archangels and the Pleiadians and the Syrians, and I'm not saying they don't exist, Not at all, actually. I'm just saying that they're not a part of my journey to find me. The only being that's required for me to find me is me. That just is so clear to me. And, you know, and I get it. I mean, this has not always been this clear to me. You know, I was bringing in the 12th dimensional shield for, you know, when I was hanging out with those guys. And, I mean, I'm not anymore. And, you know, all I can do is share that.
Yeah.
But that injection was, you know, and I'm curious, you know, if anybody else, if anybody else has a feeling about, you know, the artificial injection of December 21st. Yeah, I'm sick of angels too, Simon. I am too. Well, because it's just so obviously codependent creation relationships. That's what it's just codependent with a, you know, an entity instead of a physical human being. It cracks me up. They don't. You know,
well,
it's the
yeah,
fractal.
And I do think that the word you used before is really, you know, maturity. Like, you know, where maturity takes somebody, you know, it will, you know, is always interesting for who that person is. But it usually does take you to a place where you're looking less for that, you know, because
yeah.
Maturity seems to me very sort of like incredible ability to stay centered, focused, and not keep looking for the fix or the, you know, that group. We're going to do it all together, right? You know, or you know, it just seems to me like a false sense of safety. Whereas maturity,
right. It's like the safety in numbers. Then where do you?
Yeah,
I mean, that's almost...
or just a reassurance that of what, you know, it's like, what do you need reassurance of? You know, because I think that in a mature, when you just said maturity before, that is
right.
A word that comes up for me a lot. You know, when you know,
well,
when you hear someone processing and you feel that they're going in circles and loops, it's almost like there's a maturity issue going on. Or an immaturity
right.
issue going on, you know.
Well,
and
I can feel it too that I'm acting a little immature because I, you know, I'm not really showing compassion right now because I'm thinking to myself, there's a lot of people out there who are, you know, who are truly connected to their galactics and their angels, and you know, it's all divine. It is all divine, and you know, I apologize if I came across harsh. It's really not how I mean to be. It's just how I speak to myself, you know, how my whole life is, you know, very blunt. I'm just a blunt instrument. So, you know, well, because I'm totally feeling that I've insulted several people with that. And I don't, that's not my intention. It really isn't. It's my intention is to, you know,
but I just
really just share
something.
My.
I just want to say.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I remember, people might know that I speak of a woman named Angela Sarian so highly that I've studied with her, and she's an anthropologist and, you know, very grounded person, really pretty impeccable in her, you know, sort of teaching or, you know, it's and so I remember, you know, sometimes, well, I remember we were doing this 12-day training with her, which is very intense because you're in the middle of nowhere, and I remember her asking the group, you know, like, you know, put up your hand and try to describe love. And, you know, I even, like, put my hand up. And, you know, I thought I kind of had a little insight on love, you know. And
right.
This was a while ago. This was a while ago, like, I'm going to say 16 years ago. And,
okay.
You know, I can't recall, like, people put their hands up and, you know, they kind of gave this very, you know, beautiful love, la, 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 you know, it's this and it's that. And, like, the look on her face, it was astounding. She was mm-hmm. like, she's like, she just shook her head and she goes, nope, nobody, nobody. and I was, like, jaw open going, how dare her think I don't know what love was. But, you know, it was the same... It was the same kind of, you know, okay, so you said you're blunt. But there's a delivery sometimes that is a little tough. But you know what? It is, sometimes it's what's necessary because I remember, that, and she, you know, I had such enormous respect for her. I have enormous respect for her. She adores me. I do not question her love for me at all. So it meant even more to me that she called me on, no, that is not the love we're talking about. We're talking about mature, deepening. This is not about, and, you know, it's beautiful, like, you know, waves of light between everybody. No, you know, and I really got it. And she was tough. This is an impeccable woman. I mean, and she is not saying I don't love you because I am just destroying all your sappy description. You know, she was fantastic, and I so appreciated her ability to come in like that. You know, and just go, no, that's not it, people.
Well, I gotta share because it begs to be shared. Because first of all, you are so on the money. You are,
because I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid of
being. Being told that, no, that's not the way it is.
To being called on a sort of false sense of, you know, I'm going to stay on this level. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like, go for it, you know? And
Well, because here's what I believe, though. Here's what I believe. See, this is the paradox. See, the paradox is if we think we know what love is coming right out of, you know, just as we awaken, the awakening is literally our awareness that, I'm basically killing myself. I don't love myself, and I do this on a daily basis with 6 billion other people. That's the awakening. So first we got to realize that everything we believe is intuitive or instinctual has been conditioned to be anti-life. But I must say, like Art, you know, our friend Art who listens to the show.
Art.
Now, Art has been living a truth, a truth of love that is impeccable. It's not pretty, but it's impeccable how he's raising him and his boys. And here's the thing. When we really do start off thinking we know and we don't, you know, we got to learn the humility. But there does come a point when the love really is about the sweetness and the lightness in between beings, because it's actually radiating from yourself.
And yeah, but
the reason why I say that, it becomes our truth. But it's not the first initial awakening of truth. That's our mind.
Right, but I'm just saying if there's an avoidance of going truly deep, you know, inside, and you stay up on the, you know, the levels
definitely.
Then, you know, if you're going to invite in a teacher who really knows how to take you and guide you and, you know, talk about depth, you can't talk about it. You've got to do it. And so, someone like Art, who lives his words, you know, I totally get it. I mean, he lives it.
Well, and
you know?
I know that he speaks of this love that's around him. And, you know, that it is authentic for Art. See, this is why it's so funny. See, nothing is inherently right or wrong. It's almost like there's a level of awareness. And I'll speak for myself. I have had friends where I'll be talking to them, and I'll share an awareness that I'm going through in my process, that I've come through the other side. Like I've gone through the breakdown, and then I have the breakthrough. And then I notice that when we have conversations, they start using the same words. And it's like, just because you use the words, it does not by any means make it the truth. You know, in other words, you can feel somebody's presence. You can feel somebody's quote-unquote radiant being.
Mm-hmm.
And there really are radiant beings on the planet today, and in my humble, one of them is a devoted listener, and my good friend Art. I genuinely feel love from him, you know, and I really do, and it's like, so it's the only, that's because he's listening to the show and I know him. That's why I felt the need that, you know, okay. Because it is applicable to him. And the funny part about it is he wouldn't even care if we didn't say it. You know, because in his radiance, it doesn't matter what anybody says, he just experiences, it's almost like on some level, you have total awareness of the soul perspective, because that's what I'm experiencing. You know, more and more, there's no mistakes, there's no bad guys, you know, there is inherently nothing wrong, everything is in this perfection to getting us where we need to go, and, you know, that neutrality and integration. I don't know why this came up for me. You know, it just did when I was like, no, I gotta share that. You know, that is a truth, because I do believe there's a place we're going where there, you know, where, you know, what I was saying when I was watching Antarctica and I was watching the seal trying to eat the penguin, and it disturbed me. That was the night before at when I was nannying. And it was like so disturbing, and I just was like, I started crying, going, when are we going to be on a planet where everything's not consuming everything else? Because it's like I was feeling so deeply the pain of consumption, and how it just, it's like it ravages, it's like a Pac-Man, you know, just, it's forever feeding, and, you know, it's a part of this dynamic in this dimension, but I don't know how this works, because I know art still eats, you know, but again, I don't think necessarily if somebody's living off of light, that means that, you know, and there are supposedly over 100,000 people now on the planet who don't eat or drink, you know, over 100,000 people that, you know, that's a pretty big number, in my humble opinion.
Wow. Where'd you see that statistic?
Where did I see that? I saw an interview. It might have been with Lilu. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Where they interviewed a couple who were both what they call breatheneurs or whatever. And they had a child. And they were basically not going to feed the baby. But they were feeding the baby breast milk. They were talking about that. And they were like, listen, there's thousands of us, hundreds of thousands. And I was like, you know, and that could very well be. I mean, you know, listen, how much, I didn't know what the hell was going on in Antarctica. I clearly, there could be 100,000 people quietly scattered around the planet that don't eat or drink anymore. I mean, that statistic didn't come across to me and go, that's totally false, they're lying. You know, I was like,
Right.
But you kind of scratch your head and go, well, what's the 100th monkey, man? When does that click in for all of us?
Right. No, it says about, that was interesting to me. So that they live by prana, you know.
Which is just sunlight.
And life force.
Life force.
So I just found that interesting. When you said it, I was like,
You know, so it exists here, you know, and you know, remember, George even said he's been to the fifth dimension on Earth. The fifth dimension, that is already, you know, Shambhala and Valhalla, and I guess, you know, there's several names for it. And, you know, it's an interesting dance, is it not? Is it not an interesting dance, there, darling? God knows I can walk myself into corners on several.
Are you in a corner? I don't think so.
I feel like I maybe attacked what you were saying a little, and I didn't mean to.
Oh no, not at all. No, do you remember? I just find that sometimes saying things that seem like what you were saying, I didn't think that you were, I thought you were really on, you know, and I think that I admire teachers who can really, you know, they're not afraid, they're saying truth more than they're worried about, you know, hurting people's feelings, because truth is, you know, and I admire that. Do you remember when I called you you really kind of broke the code or the riddle when I was saying, you know, there's a paradox, but I feel that it's possible,
right,
where you're the bird on the ground and the bird in the air in flight, so that you're both grounded and in flight, and you go, well, Jay, that would be no, the bird on, in the air and the turtle on the ground. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's a much different way of looking at it, you know, where, you know, and I thought that there was a bit of a riddle breaker there by you. And and I really enjoyed that because I do think that, yeah, so let's just say that you feel that you got yourself in a corner by, you know, first saying, you know, something about you believe in going inward and finding the power within you rather than looking outside at sort of light beings and angels. Now,
right.
I find that perfectly acceptable, to, like, honestly, because I find there's a maturity there. So
right, but
so,
but then I started
then
getting
you,
a little punchy
right,
towards
so then,
the people who were
right,
who
so
were
then you
doing
feel,
that.
Right, I get it.
That's
so
where
you
I did a boo-boo.
Well, what I find right. interesting is that, you know, once again, like, okay, so if you feel you got yourself in a corner, and that's fine, because, like, I find this is the art of relating, you know, to me.
Right on.
So when we discuss, say, you know, the both end, or I mean, for me, I resonate very much with the going inward and strengthening and becoming the more
no,
radiant
and of course,
being.
So do I. Yes.
I just, you know, I welcome conversation. So I think for me, like listening to you, it's I think conversation is completely welcome. And I think that if anybody gets challenged by what you say, I think that's interesting. Because then, hey, be secure in what you're feeling. Be secure in what you're thinking. You know, that's
well,
a good
right.
place.
Well,
when
no,
someone's
and I
challenged,
am, but I can still be more gentle and not be like, come on, people, you know, you knucklehead, what the hell are you doing calling in an archangel for? I mean, a little more gentle, a little more dear, you know, the female
dear. What's his name say? You told me, Robert Young or somebody, about the dear energy, the gentle quality.
About being gentle. That this
right,
this
gentle
is the way to master the energy coming into the planet is not you can't fight it.
Okay,
it's all about being gentle.
If I'm the bird and the turtle, then you might be the deer and let's see.
Well, I gotta grab a hawk.
So you can be both.
No, right on. I just was, you know, because I felt bad, and then I did the same thing. You know, I kind of jumped on you instead of letting you finish your thought.
Oh,
and then going,
you jumped on me. Oh no, that's okay.
Okay,
you
well,
know,
I'm a little sensitive.
You know,
my ass
that.
Got kicked. Listen, I got canceled
on another
gig this week. You know, 20 minutes before I'm going on the air. It wasn't fair.
I know, but I can handle that, and I welcome it. You know, so I roll with it. And I didn't even interpret it as that way, so it's absolutely
thank
great.
You.
But
thank
but,
you.
Yeah, yeah.
You rock, babe.
Yeah.
Don't swallow
yeah.
your dragon's breath.
Wait,
yeah,
always always face that core lava lake.
Well, no, right on. There's so much truth. Listen, everything we said is truth. I might have, you know, picked on the people a little hard, and, you know, I apologize, but that does not take away the intensity of what going within and looking towards self. Remember, the higher self is the portal that we're going to be looking for when we do our conscious death. If you want to die consciously this time, you've got to, that radiant being has got to be, you've got to be conscious of that radiant being before you die. That's the work that, you know, and if not, you know, you're welcome to recycle yourself into, you know, another 26,000 year cycle. With my blessings, all right, have yourself a grand old time.
You can listen to a lot of archives. You can listen to a lot more archives.
Woo! I'll tell you, it's almost like it becomes like, the more crap you can integrate, you really start realizing that the blessing is you've had a shit life. I mean, that becomes the blessing, which is, it doesn't get better than that. It's such a paradox. It's such a paradox. I love it. Listen, I want everybody on the air that they can hear you.
Oh,
tell them where
okay.
they can find you and get your book. I mean, don't rush.
Oh, thank
but, you. Know,
thank
rush.
You. Well, I have two websites, JLKimmel.com or SpringTreePress.com,
And check out the What's New on either one. I'm excited because I'll be doing a little tour for a week in Ireland in December. So that's kind of exciting. It's very exciting, actually. So I'm excited. I feel like the book is going home to Ireland because I wrote a lot of it there.
Nice.
So thanks for tonight. It was fun.
Oh, my pleasure. Yeah, you rocked it. We, you know, it's an intimate discussion that we discuss, but in my humble opinion, it's incredibly worth discussing because it applies to all of us. So,
yeah.
You know, we share what we share. I appreciate everybody being here. Simon, appreciate you being here. Appreciate
Hi,
all
Simon.
The regulars, Seneca and Tricia and Art and Susan. I love you guys. Definitely feel free to send me emails or on, you know, messages on Facebook. You know, if you had an aha moment or it struck something in you, I really do enjoy. I really do enjoy listening to all you guys and your feedback.
Really do
I
enjoy
love you
commentary.
Guys. I love you guys.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, and we will rock soon. October 10th, Jennifer Dell will be doing. Tarot card readings and Mother Earth
right.
card readings. So she's very good. So I highly recommend you tune in for that. But I think we have one more show coming up next week.
Right.
So next Monday night, 8 o'clock. I love you, baby.
Okay. I love you, too.
All Bye. Right. Everybody have a great night. Bye.
Bye.
Love you all. Gotta go.
Bye.
Bye.